Hi, my name is Ken Kobayashi from University of Hawaii. That's right. Okay. How do we help engage our students in a classroom to enhance their learning? And this is a situation that I've come across in my class. So I've looked at several techniques to try to engage students more actively in class for their learning. This includes the flipped classroom technique, bring your own device, BYOD, and the virtual field trip that I developed. In my experience with lecturing, I've noticed, as you can see, the traditional style of teaching. The instructor lectures, the students take notes, and they do homework or activities at home, outside of class. In the flipped classroom, students look at resource materials such as YouTube videos, web pages, articles outside of class. Okay. Then when they come into class, that time is not used for my lecturing. It's used for hands-on active learning activities in class. So they learn the lecture material at home and they do the homework in class. Okay. To make this technique of flipped classroom work, I use the bring your own device technique. That is, it's a requirement in my class that students bring a mobile device or a laptop. So they bring their smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop to class. And this is used for reviewing the material I've assigned ahead of time for them to look at and for them to also search for information. Okay? Because sometimes you'll find students who have not looked at the assignment at home, so when they come to class, it will be the first time they'll look at the YouTube video. Okay? And another good thing about bringing your own device is a lot of times I'll ask the students questions about what they read or what they looked at home, that they have to go on the internet and search for the answers. So the answers to the question, the answers to the assignment are not always in the reading material or the video material that I've given them. You can see here the students have brought their mobile devices. I have them form groups of two, three, or four students, because I find that number helps with class discussion. Because I'm a firm believer in small group discussion, and so I find that groups larger than four students, what happens is the group is getting too large, and some of the students don't participate or they feel left out. Because I know from the time that I lecture in class, and you know, you see only one or two students answer. But I know the students know the answers. They just don't want to speak up. And likewise, in a group that's small, two or four students, I find that there's a lot of interaction and discussion. The students feel confident, more willing to talk about the points that they want to bring up. They want to give their own opinion, because in a small group discussion, I find it's a technique for using peer-to-peer learning. So the students will share their experiences. For example, in my class, there are two students from the U.S. mainland who came from family farms of over 1,000 acres. Okay, that's very rare or unheard of in Hawaii to have that. So those students were able to share with the other students from Hawaii, especially, what it's like to grow up in a farm, you know, of 1,000-plus acres rather than a farm of 3 acres. So when a small group, they like to talk to each other, there's a lot of sharing, they learn from each other. Okay, so they bring their devices, whatever they have. They have to, otherwise they're going to sit there and do nothing during class. Yeah. Another good part about bringing your own device, as I mentioned, is I call this the Hunt for Red October technique. They have to search the internet for additional information that was not given to them. So when they ask me a question, I said, why don't you look it up yourself? you have to hunt for red October. Okay, so they need, so if they're working on a question on strawberry production or blueberry production, and they need to know specific information as to what the water requirement is, what fertilization, they will need to look it up themselves. And they can do that with this kind of devices. We have wireless routers in class that allow this to be done. Okay. So now we have the small group discussion, a lot of sharing, peer-to-peer teaching. Okay. But I don't let it rest at that. I could have the students share the answers with the class sitting down, but I don't. Because some of them are facing the wrong way when they talk to the class. And there's, I think, too casual an atmosphere when the group speaks to the rest of the class sitting down rather than standing up. So I have each group share the answers with the class. But they have to come up in the front of the class to give the answers. And I have this requirement because this enhances their oral communication skills. And further, when you have a group up in front like this, typically you have one spokesperson and the rest of the people are just standing there. Okay, like one student here. I force each student to talk. So they will, each student up here will give part of the answer to the class. So we don't have only one person speaking for the entire group. Okay. To give the group experience in answering questions, they will ask, they will of course field questions from the audience, but to help them know how to formulate questions to ask, they will ask the class questions. So it's a two-way question and answer period. So this has really helped in enhancing the oral skills. So I told them, you know, at the end of the semester, you folks are veterans now, because we do this so often, several times a week, that they already know how to go up in front of the class. They know how to speak. It's not like once a semester they give an oral PowerPoint talk or something like that. They do this quite often. So, and everybody in the group talks, so they're all used to it, and they know each other. Very easy for them to speak in front of the class. Okay. I created this technique called virtual field trip. 2 minutes. Okay. One of the problems with regular field trips is not only the expense and the time in planning it. I've noticed when we go on field trips, some students don't come. Then when we go to the field trip, a whole bunch of students will be around the owner. And then the students walking away over there far away. So I said, "This, I cannot do this already. I need everybody here." So this virtual field trip, each student or a pair goes and find a nursery or farm. They have to contact that farm, so interview the owner with a set of questions and come back. They write a report about it and they give an oral presentation. So there you can see on the right. And I tell the class, talk to the class as if the class were going to the farm, but you're providing a virtual field trip. So these are the techniques, briefly using the flipped classroom, more active student learning, bring your device so they can discuss and find new information, and virtual field trip where they're engaged with the owner one-on-one. Okay. So are there any questions?
I have one question. Ken's on the flipped classroom, and it's always been a concern of mine. Those who don't do the work the night before they come to class, you talked about letting them watch last night's video on their laptop in the class. So doesn't that kind of disrupt what you wanted to do in class today?
Once in a while, I'll give periodic quizzes on the resource material, whatever they look at the video or the websites or the articles, you know, to keep them on their toes, so they will actually do the reading outside of class or do the viewing outside of class.
Okay. Thank you, Ken.
All right.